We're grateful for the way God is working, and this particular series, Our Lives Under Construction, this is really the third one that we're talking about. We did part one and two on the last one, but we talked about our foundation of how all of our relationships are built. And if I could, I'll use lots of scripture throughout this whole series, because I believe that everything that we believe can be supported by God's word. And so I believe really firmly in the importance of God's word. I think that's the foundation for everything. And if we can keep that in our thoughts, and that's why I believe it should be a part of our lives on a daily basis so that you can have a solid foundation. I believe also, as we would look, we talk the next week, the framework of how we see things in our world really has to pass through the framework of God's word as well. And so that really is going to shape a whole lot of things, a whole lot of decisions, a whole lot of aspects of who we are and what we see. So today I'm talking about beginning the importance of boundaries and what they are. And sometimes it's really hard for us to be able to understand what those mean. What that means and how those are to be really used in our lives. And the scripture, it says, "It was you who set all the boundaries of the earth. You made both summer and winter." It was you, God, you who set all the boundaries of the earth. Let's pray. Father, open our hearts, teach us that we might better understand your word. Help us to be able to make application into our lives, that we could be healthy and holy in Christ's name. Amen. I really think the importance of understanding boundaries is sometimes really challenging for us, but it was God who established boundaries. I thought about it this past week as we were at the ocean, and our whole family loves the beach, and we love the ocean, and as I was standing there looking at it, it's just so amazing. Because you look, I mean, it goes forever. When you look across, you can't see anything but ocean as you look across all of that. You see those waves continuing to come in on a regular basis. And the interesting thing is they only come so far. Now, they came a little farther, I think, than what they anticipated, because I saw people scrambling with their towels when the tide was coming in, and it would come. But realistically, there is a boundary. There's a limit to how far that'll go. And God set all of this into motion, and he set all of this into place as we watch that continual ocean continue to come in. But we know that both the stars, the sun, the moon, everything about creation was established by boundaries and by setting those into motion, into place. Now, it's important that we can grasp all of this and that we can see how this operates, because the realistic picture is that each of us needs to have boundaries in our lives as well. Now, this is probably one of those areas that is confusing for us as Christians and as believers. Like, how far do we go, and what is the extent, and is it really Christian to, you know, have a boundary and to tell someone no, or should we just say yes all the time to everything? And I think those are challenging parts of trying to understand where that needs to go, but I believe there's a biblical basis for this and a biblical place that we can be able to understand as we try to put all this in place. And that's why I feel that this is so important for us within the church to both understand and grasp. The fact is that if you have had your boundaries violated in your life, it becomes more of a challenge for you to understand where healthy boundaries are and where they should be established. Let me say, if you, for example, were sexually abused as a child, then I would say it's almost guaranteed. I can't guarantee, but almost, and I don't want to make a total general statement, but almost that you're going to have difficulty knowing where boundaries should be placed as an adult, because your boundaries have been violated. Then it's hard to know where they should be. Oftentimes, someone who's had abuse as a child, they get close to a person and then pull back. They get close and pull back. Because when they start getting close, they get scared and they pull back right away. Why? Because they don't know where the boundary is to be established. They don't know what to let in, to let in and not. And so they are not sure how to deal with this. And so they're kind of moving in this whole aspect, feeling like, I feel safe. No, I don't. Okay, and pulling back. And so you, as a person who are in a relationship maybe with someone who's gone through this, question and try to understand, what did I do? Didn't seem like I did anything, but what happened? And it's not you, it's them trying to understand where healthy boundaries need to be. And so many times you will see people who have been violated by some kind of abuse, whether it's physical or sexual or emotional, some kind of abuse that happened in their life, it happens multiple times. And you think, wow. And so if you are a victim of abuse and you've been into that situation multiple times, what is it? Do I have a target on me that makes this happen? Why is this continue to happen and take place? And the main reason is because, as I said, when your boundaries have been violated, you're not sure how to protect yourself for the future and where to put those boundaries. And so what I hope for all of us is to understand how that needs to be in place as I'm walking through this sermon on putting up walls and knowing where boundaries need to be held. Now, there's an importance of understanding that because whatever the abuse, whatever the situation, the closer the abuser is in proximity or relationship to you, the greater the harm that is done. So some of the most severe hurt happens from, say, a father or a mother who abused because they're closest in relationship. So some of the greatest damage is done through that. Also, it's just important that we would understand then how we were treated, probably as a child in that kind of situation, then becomes the framework of how we think we're supposed to be treated as an adult. And that's why many times adults open themselves up to situations where there's abuse because they don't know where and what is healthy and what healthy looks like. I've had people in counseling talk with me, and I know one particular woman who had shared that she was sexually abused by her father until she was 12 and had no idea that was not natural. The only way she discovered it is she was with a bunch of friends and they were talking about this, and suddenly she realized what she had been through all those years was not natural. You think, really? How could anybody? No, no. You have to understand, if your boundaries have been violated and you've been deeply hurt and wounded in that way, you don't know where a healthy relationship is and what it looks like. And so for that reason, that's why it's so important that we, within the church, we, within the body of Christ, we learn to help one another walk through these times and understand what healthy and holy is and how we can be able to establish healthy boundaries. And so first, let's get a basis for all of this so we can know where it is. Because, you know, some people would say, well, you know, that Jesus says to turn your other cheek, so whatever anybody does, you're supposed to accept it and deal with it. No, there's more to Scripture. And whenever I hear someone attacking Scripture, they're usually attacking one particular area. They're not using it as a context. They're taking it out of context, and they're dealing with one particular thing. There's an importance of making sure that we have a broad understanding of Scripture, and so that we can be able to know. And so what I'm trying to do by going through this whole relationship series is give you a broader understanding of what Scripture is about and what's a part of it. First, we know that God is the author of boundaries in relationships. So understanding this, having boundaries is okay. It's healthy. We need to have boundaries. There's got to be a place where things should stop, where we need to draw a line. There's got to be a place where that happens, and that is. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die." Now, don't you think it was interesting that God gave freedom to all of these things to Adam and Eve, but he gave one thing right in the middle that said, "Don't touch this. Don't touch this." Now, you know they saw it all the time. And you know that it was like, I wonder what would happen. I wonder. And you know where the enemy came and he said, you won't surely die. Don't you think it's amazing the enemy knows scripture, knows what God says so clearly? And he repeats it in our heads too, just like this. And he tries to be able to tempt us to be able to go in that wrong direction. God put this in so they could understand boundaries. There's some things that are not acceptable, some things that are not okay. We need to make sure those are a part of our lives. So it was put right in the middle, right in the center, to know there are some things that this is a boundary. You don't cross that line. You don't entertain it. Here's what happens. When we cross boundaries we shouldn't be crossing, we didn't just fall into that. We've already been playing it out in our head beforehand. So if you're going to be able to have a healthy relationship, what you need to do is catch yourself as soon as it starts playing in your head and then change your thoughts. That's a temptation. Don't let yourself go there. Don't let yourself think about it. Don't let yourself play it out over and over, because pretty soon it's only one step away from acting on it when you've already played the movie in your head so many times. That's why keeping those healthy boundaries becomes such an important part. Now, the Ten Commandments were given to us as boundaries to protect relationships. That's the bottom line. They were given to protect. They protect our relationship with God. They protect our relationship with one another. That's exactly what the Ten Commandments were all about. And so they're going to protect us in having healthy relationships and building. And God was the one who spoke all these words and gave them to us. We also know that the promises of God were given as a means of increasing our relationship with him and with others. So if we're going to have better relationships, let's look at his promises and see what he has given to us, because those were given that we could have healthier relationships. You can understand, I will use the word healthy and holy interchangeably often, because I believe when real holiness comes in and really works in our lives, we have a greater health than in any other time. We have a greater wellness, because that's what God's design for us is, to be healthy and holy. Scripture says, then you will have success if you are careful to observe the decrees and laws that the Lord gave Moses for Israel. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Now, if you understand Scripture, you will see that everything that he puts in Scripture is for health for us. The more we're understanding about how the mind works and how the emotions work, we're all a part of chemistry. Like when we are happy, there are endorphins that are released in us, and that creates that happiness, and so it kind of gives us a high. And so there are certain aspects. When we come together in worship, collective worship, and there's an experience of joy that is here, we have this kind of high that's created inside of us that we experience together. Now, that is a part of what is meant for us. Now, there is also a chemistry that happens when we are fearful and when we are angry. So all of these things release chemicals into our system, and they affect our mood and who we are. That's why we have to realize when he says, don't be afraid or discouraged, this releases chemicals into our body that pull us down and do damage to us. And they do damage to us, you know, within our system. And so what we want to do is create the positive so it elevates and is whole and healthy. And so when he says, be strong and courageous, don't be afraid or discouraged, he's not only telling us something spiritually, he's telling us something physically and chemically and emotionally. So all of those work together because God designs his word as our operating manual. So you will be healthiest when you're operating according to what he's told us to do. So there's an importance. So if you will do this, you can observe the decrees and laws that the Lord gave, then you will see a greater strength and courage that will be built into us as a result. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then. Now, these are promises, this if and then promises. And so he tells us, if we will do this, then he will respond. So I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. So they're already, God is putting boundaries in place even for us to be able to follow. So we know that if I will humble myself, pray and seek his face and turn from the wicked ways, those are healthy things that God is calling us to do, then he will bring forgiveness and healing as a result. Now, the biblical instructions were given to establish healthy relationships within the church and families. Realistically, the church should be the healthiest in all ways. We should have the healthiest relationships. We should have the healthiest physically, emotionally, spiritually, because if we're really putting God's word into practice, we're going to see that happen. Unfortunately, the enemy is really good at distracting us and destroying us and defeating us. And so we have to watch for those kinds of things that will happen, that will come to us. Scripture says, give proper recognition to those widows who are really in need, so the church can help those widows who are really in need. You think, okay, what's that there for? Because here's a classic example of boundaries in Scripture. Here is the way it is. It's just a boundary. What do we help everybody? Well, there are some verses that would say that we should, but there are certain limits that we have and how we will offer help. And so this scripture is telling us that are really in need. There's a whole list of things that would qualify for those that we should help in this passage. And so we start looking at this and realize, wait a minute, the church is supposed to have boundaries also. And how we help and who we help and how it's done and how everything that is a part of that. And so there are healthy boundaries in all that we do and all that is a part of that. And so there's an importance. Now the need for discipline was given to help maintain boundaries. So discipline that's built into the scripture is a way to help maintain boundaries in relationships. Violation of boundaries will always cause a loss in relationship. So we have to realize whenever boundaries are violated. Here's an example of that in scripture. Warn a divisive person once, then warn him a second time. After that, have nothing to do with him. You may be sure that such a man is warped and sinful. He is self-condemned. Now, you think, wow, that's a pretty strong statement. Well, it's just given to us in scripture on how we should handle someone who is divisive. And if someone is divisive, what should we do? Well, should we just love them and let them continue to create division? Well, it feels like that would be like Jesus, right? We just love everybody and we don't do anything. No, there's actually discipline that's told to us. So is discipline healthy? It is. It's unhealthy not to discipline. For you not to ever discipline your children, then you are not doing them a favor. You're doing a disservice to them. Because what's going to happen? The whole world is not going to tolerate they're just taking and giving and whatever they want to do. No, there's going to be a healthy way to be able to create discipline, and there's a healthy way to respond to things. And that's why it's so important that we would be able to follow through with discipline, that we would make sure it's a part of our life, not only personally, but also within the church and in our relationships. And so division is something that should be handled by healthy relationships. But there's many, many other examples as well. This is just one that helps us to see that. So God provided boundaries. God provided boundaries for us. Now, if you'll turn over on your back of your outline, there's some healthy and unhealthy responses. So let me just walk through those rather quickly. That first group that is there, healthy and unhealthy boundaries in relationships. So you can see some of those. A healthy one is feeling like you're your own person. Unhealthy, feeling incomplete without your partner. So many times people will say, oh, it's very romantic and really nice. It's a Hallmark line. You complete me. And that's real sweet. But to be real honest, it's not healthy. It really isn't. You need to be complete yourself before you come into another complete person. Otherwise, you're totally dependent upon them to be whole. Do you understand what I'm saying? You're totally dependent upon them. I mean, it's real sweet. You can say it if you want. But anyway, it's just not healthy. You should be a whole person yourself. That's why when we come into a relationship with someone else, we have two whole people that become one. Now that's what God designs. And that's how God has set it up. And so we will become that. So it's important that we not be that dependent upon your other partner or person for that. Feeling responsible for your own happiness, that's healthy. Like you are the one who's responsible whether you were happy or not. You can't say, you make me so unhappy. Really? No, you choose that yourself. They may have had actions that frustrate you, but you're responsible for that yourself. Relying on your partner for your happiness. That's unhealthy. You can't rely on them. You need to be happy within yourself. Togetherness and separateness are balance. Too much or too little togetherness. We always call it me time, we time. You need some of both. You need some of both. You can't have all we time. You can't have all me time. You need to make sure there's a balance that's a part of that. Friendship exists outside of the relationship. That's healthy. Inability to establish and maintain friendships with others. That's the unhealthy side. You need to have additional friends. Focus on the best quality. When I say you need to have other friends, let me say one of the things abusers do is isolate. Abusers always isolate. They keep people isolated. They don't want them to have any other friends. They don't want them to have any other relationships. And that's because of that. So that's an unhealthy pattern that happens. Focuses on the best qualities of both people. Focus on the worst qualities of the partners. Those are unhealthy. Healthy, achieving intimacy without chemicals. Unhealthy, using alcohol, drugs to reduce inhibitions and achieve a false sense of intimacy. Healthy, open, honest, and assertive communication. Unhealthy, game playing, unwillingness to listen, manipulation. So many times people manipulate emotionally. And there's all this kind of manipulation that happens, and they feel like they're being played with by their emotions. That's very unhealthy, and you need to establish boundaries to prevent that. Commitment to the partner, healthy. Unhealthy, jealousy, relationship addiction, or lack of commitment. Some people feel like, oh, he's so jealous of me because he really loves me. I hear this, and I think, no, that's not healthy. Like, don't you realize that's not a healthy relationship? No, they don't. And so that's why you have to understand, you know, we should be secure in one another, but if trust has been violated, remember we talked about it takes a long time to rebuild trust. And then there are greater boundaries that have to be established when trust has been violated. So we can continue talking about some of those. Healthy, respecting the differences in the partner. Unhealthy, blaming the partner for his or her own unique qualities. Healthy, accepting changes in the relationship. unhealthy, feeling that the relationship should always be the same. We all change. It's going to constantly do that. Healthy, asking honestly for what is wanted. Unhealthy, feeling unable to express what is wanted. Healthy, accepting endings. Unhealthy, unable to let go. When somebody, you know, is saying, oh, if you leave me, I'll die. That is not, if you leave me, I'm going to kill myself. That is not a healthy relationship. You don't want to be in that. And you're not responsible for that person's actions to themselves. That is not a healthy way to handle life or a relationship. So you've got to help understand. I know that when I walk through this sermon series and I talk about these things, I'm talking to people who may have been in very unhealthy situations. And just statistically, I know when we have 1,000 people, I know that statistically how many people have been sexually abused and violated and all those kinds of things. Healthy response is learning and growing for this. Unhealthy is running from it, not willing to deal with it. We've got to understand that as we walk through. Scripture says, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you set in place. God put all of these boundaries in place. They are very tight in how the movement of what we see. So boundaries were given to protect relationships. We know boundaries are given to protect. That's the whole thing. So why does God put them there? Why do we put them? Why should we make sure they're a part of our lives? But among you must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man as an idolater, has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. Now, here's some really healthy boundaries. If people are speaking inappropriately to you, then don't let them. Just say, I'm not going to be a part of this conversation. Somebody in your workplace, coarse joking, sexually harassment, immediately, you do not have to be subject to that. Obviously, we have legal protection now that's even greater, but you do not have to cave into somebody's inappropriate demands. Put up a boundary. Treat people this way because they don't respect them. If you're in a relationship and your partner is not faithful to you, your partner does not respect you. That's the problem. And so you've got to make sure you put up boundaries. You do that again, and I'm out of here. That will not happen. When somebody tells you that, like, you believe them. And you make sure, well, those are holding boundaries. They're putting up. They're making sure that other person is going to have to respect you because they're setting those in place. Now, boundaries were given to bring security to our relationships. And so we should be secure in that relationship. And that's why they're there. So they're given to security. God wants you to have the best marriage possible. God wants you to have the best relationships possible. God wants all of that to happen. And so what he wants us to understand is exactly how that can take place by understanding how to build in security into our relationships. We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who is born of God keeps him safe, and the evil one cannot harm him. God wants us to be in a place of safety in our relationships. And so he continues. Boundaries were given to bring freedom to our relationships. They were given to bring freedom. So when I see lines on the highway, I feel much safer than when there are no lines. Because I don't know where, if the other guy's gonna come over on my side or not. I don't know where I go and where I stop. Boundaries make me feel safer. And so that's exactly what it is in our relationships. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So the more we have truth in our lives, the more we know truth, the more it is. And boundaries were given to bring order and greater effectiveness to all relationships. So we need to make sure they're a part of our lives. Dominion and all belong to God. He established order in the heights of heaven. Can his forces be numbered? Upon whom does his light not rise? No, God created order. God loves order. He created that all around us. And the importance of making sure we have healthy boundaries is exactly what we need to understand. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Yes. God wants you to have the best life together possible in your relationships, in your marriage, and all that is a part of that. I think of a young couple like Stephen and Meredith who've made lots of conscious choices to really follow God. God brought them together. God has a great future for them. Why? Because they're both intent on following God and doing it together. That's the kind of thing that God wants. He wants a full life, a full marriage, a full relationship with others, full family dynamics that are healthy. How? By making sure his word is the center of what we do. Let's stand together as we pray. Father, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your goodness to us. Lord, these are heavy topics. And when we talk about the fact that so many people have encountered damage and hurt and pain and violation, we realize that understanding healthy boundaries becomes even a greater challenge in our world. Lord, I ask that you would help each one that is here that is processing through these thoughts and thinking, that you would help them to reach a place of health and holiness where they can better understand your will and your way for their lives. Lord, you've created us, you designed us, you know what's best for us, you know how we operate best, and you know what's most important for all of our relationships. Father, we ask that you would be honored and glorified in all that we do. Teach us and help us, empower us to be faithful to follow it. We just give you thanks and praise in Christ's name. Amen. God bless.